My name is George Tanabe, and I want to welcome you to another broadcast of The White Way. Today, I'd like to talk about some fascinating studies being done about psychedelic drugs. This might seem like a strange topic to address, but would like to point out the relationship between the drug experience and the teachings of Buddhism. The first thing we need to do is to expand our common understanding that we all have about psychedelic drugs, which include LSD, mescaline, peyote, certain mushrooms, marijuana, opioids, and other substances that can have a profound effect on our minds and perceptions. The common image we have of these drugs is that they induce a kind of temporary insanity, and people who take them literally go out of their minds and do crazy things. They get high and they fly off into another world. It is not that this image is wrong. People do get high and do crazy things just as they can under the influence of alcohol, which is also a psychotropic, that is, a mind-changing drug. There is no doubt that drugs can make us act crazy, but there is another side to the drug experience that is less well known and is actually being researched in serious scientific studies. Let me describe this other side of the drug experience by telling you of a recent experience I had. I was hospitalized for a condition that caused extreme pain, and the doctors gave me a painkiller that not only got rid of my pain, but also gave me a profound experience of well-being. The drug did not make me high. In fact, I would describe it as a kind of a low, a deep, quiet sense of well-being, a feeling that everything was all right, that there were no problems with my life or with the world. It is actually a very common experience that many people have with or without the benefit of drugs or alcohol. Think of the times when you felt at peace, when everything seemed to be going well, when you did not feel any kind of anxiety or worry or concern. It might have happened when you had a few drinks that did not make you drunk, but made you have that happy buzz. Music also has the power to induce this kind of feeling in us. Think of how you feel when you listen to Beethoven's Ode to Joy, or when you listen to your favorite songs, or when you recite the Nembutsu, or when you chant, or when you participate in rituals. Psychedelic drugs induce that same kind of feeling, only much more powerfully. If we take too strong a dose, we can get crazy high, but in moderation, it can induce a peaceful sense of well-being. In my case in the hospital, the painkillers gave me a wonderful sense of peace and well-being. When my wife came to visit me, I told her I had found the secret of life, and she thought I had really gone off the deep end. "No, no," I said, "I'm not feeling high. I'm just feeling incredibly good. Life is wonderful." But like so many other good things in life, too much of a good thing can be bad. Having had that wonderful feeling of peace, I understood from my own experience why people get addicted to painkillers and opioids. Taking too much drugs in a frantic attempt to feel good leads to addiction, and in the case of opioids, it can lead to overdose and death. In no way am I advocating the use of drugs to solve our problems. Drugs are too powerful, and if they are taken without proper medical supervision, such as the kind I had in the hospital, they can create a terrible epidemic of the kind that is afflicting too many people in too many families and in too many communities in our nation. What I would like to advocate is another way to induce the same experience of well-being, and that other way is Buddhism. As you all know, Buddhism teaches that the fundamental problem with life is our egocentric desires that cause suffering. The different schools of Buddhism teach different ways of accomplishing the same thing: the liberation from our egocentrism, the escape from our selfish desires. In Buddhist teaching, this state of liberation is called emptiness, the freedom from any fixed views of ourselves, any fixed views that make me think of myself, for example, as a male Japanese American, as the son of my father, as a Tanabe, not a Tanaka, as a retired professor, and on with all the other ways I can define my identity. Many of us, especially younger people, think it is important to find our identity, some fixed idea of who we are. But the teaching of emptiness teaches us that we do not have fixed identities, that our identities are fluid, changing from moment to moment according to different causes and conditions. It is not that we do not have identities, it is that our identities are constantly changing and difficult to define. Buddhism teaches that everything changes, that the only thing that does not change is change itself, and that includes our personal, ethnic, and cultural identities. Unfortunately, it is inevitable that we adopt fixed identities, but that is not ideal because personality, ethnicity, nationality, and culture set us apart from each other and are the seeds of conflict and even violence. We fight over our differences, not our similarities. It is unrealistic for us to give up all these markers of our identities that set us apart, and that is exactly why, unfortunately, it is unrealistic for us to think that we can achieve world peace as long as we insist on our different identities. The Buddhist view is that none of these markers of identity define who we really are, because we are empty, and emptiness cannot be shoved into a fixed definition. Buddhism encourages us to let go of all fixed definitions of who we are, and in so doing, achieve the realization of emptiness. Zen Buddhism speaks of achieving the state of no mind, which is not to say that we do not have minds, but that ideally we do not harden our minds into fixed ideas, set views, strong opinions, rigid ideologies. Pure Land Buddhism speaks of letting go of our selfish calculations, of giving up our self-power, and entrusting ourselves to the other power of Amida. Early Buddhism speaks of achieving the ideal of no self, that is, the ideal of no fixed self, no permanent self, since the self itself is in a constant state of flux and change. In other words, to put it in plain and simple terms, Buddhism teaches us the ideal of being free from our egos. And what will result if we can achieve this state of freedom from the ego? A deep sense of peace, a feeling of well-being, an ability to empathize with other people and other beings. Sound familiar? This brings us back to the drug experience. There are hundreds of people who have reported this peace of mind under the moderate influence of drugs. And what is fascinating about the scientific research into psychedelic drugs is the conclusion that researchers have drawn about what causes this sense of well-being. Michael Pollan has written important books about food and eating. And in his latest book, How to Change Your Mind, he analyzes the scientific research about drugs and points out what researchers have found out. Drugs make us feel good because they liberate us from our egos. This is exactly what Buddhists have been saying for centuries. Michael Pollan points out the significance of this research into the psychedelic means of liberating ourselves from our egos. Liberation from our egos has implications for how we treat anxiety, stress, depression, and suicidal tendencies. These are real problems requiring practical solutions. Those who study and practice Buddhism can also make a contribution to tackling the vexing and universal problem of egotism. The Buddhist ideal is not an easy one to achieve, but it makes total sense and is in agreement with drug researchers. Namely, the problem of existence is the ego, and the solution lies in liberation from the ego by whatever means. Thank you for listening to The White Way this morning.